Hello, everybody. Good morning. If you turn with me to Philippians 2. And we're going to look at the verses 12 through 18, but let's just read it from verse 1 all the way to 18. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every name will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice in service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the word and the verses today. And we just pray that the words of Paul would really resonate with us in our Christian living and help us, Lord, to really understand and take in your truth and what you're trying to convey to us today. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to look at from verse 12 to 18. And, my notes just, 12 to 18, and just a little recap, Paul is talking to the Philippi church and sharing his desire for them to be united and to model after Christ to do that, and he's just continuing. And so in verse 12, he says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So Paul is saying to the people, you know, just as all of us, I'm sure, once we gave our life to Christ, we were born again, you know, we were radical in our obedience. That's how we started. And he's reminding us, continue to do that. Right? Continue to do that, not just during that beginning time when he was with them, but do it now. Continue to obey. And he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that might seem like an odd statement, right? He's telling us to work out our salvation. Because, you know, is that something that we're supposed to do? Earn our salvation through our works? No. In Romans, what does it say? Ephesians, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So, obviously, we don't have to work for our salvation. It is a gift, and it's by the grace of God, right, that we have our salvation. So what is he saying when he says, work out our salvation with fear and trembling? What he's saying to us is, yes, you've been saved in the sense, and for many of us, we have our different reasons, but, you know, we've been saved from our, I mean, at the most basic level, and what I'm sure people also communicate is, you've been saved from your sins, and now you get to go to heaven, whereas before you would go to hell. And that's like super basic level, right? And so he's saying we keep needing to work it out with God. How is it that our salvation works out, not just when we pass away or die, but present? What is the evidence of that salvation? And I'm sure for most of us, after we give our life to the Lord, then the reality hits us. Okay, so now what? I still live in this world. I still need to go to work, all these things. So he's saying you need to work it out, right? There's many things. One example is working out is, you know, we go back to work and we go back into the world and the grind and fighting for promotion and trying to earn people's approval, right? And how do we reconcile that with the Bible, right, and what it teaches? And as you keep on working at your salvation, you'll realize, oh, we're saved by grace and not by works, right? You know, we're not earning things to get value or approval, especially in the church context, right? Because he's talking to people at church. So, you know, whether you serve on the worship team or today you guys are coming out to morning prayer, you are not earning anything, right? Hopefully this is, you've already earned everything you had, and now it's just a simple response to God that you want to draw closer to him and, I guess, work out your salvation. And things always keep coming up, right? Things of this world, whether it be even, you know, disappointments in life, or, you know, you see bad things happen to good people, or, you know, bad things happen to those who you love. And so you can go one way is just, you know, take God out of the picture, take your faith out of the picture and just figure it out. Or you really need to wrestle with God and work out your salvation. And what does that look like as, you know, living? And in verse 13, and it seems really hard, like, oh man, how do I even do that? How do I figure out working out my salvation, right? So in 13, it kind of hopefully alleviates the pressure. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. For it is God who is at work. So how do you work out your salvation with trembling and fear? It's not really you. It's actually with God. So if you are giving your life to the Lord and you're born again, Christian, then as long as you're open and willing to partnership with God, he will lead you through that process of working out your salvation. And it says both to will and to work. So he's saying, He's going to do something in you. And God is, you know, if you've done EG, you know, God is always working. God is always working in your life. And he's saying he's doing something both on the inside, both to will and to work, and through your actions, right? That's how he's transforming you. And it's for his good pleasure. So even as he's doing this and like refining you and teaching you and transforming you, he's doing it because he loves it. It gives him great pleasure to see his children basically grow up, right? And I'm sure any parent, as you see your children and as you help them go through the process to learn, even if you're new, even as a new parent, I remember when your child is just like a blob and they don't do anything. When they finally even like are able to give you a high five, you're so happy, right? That's just part of that joy. And that's the same joy that God has in helping you to be transformed. Okay? And then, so that's kind of the what's going on the inside. And now the practical. How do you do that? In verse 14, it says, do all things without grumbling or dispute. So, again, it's talking about within the church. But I think these two verses, verses 14 and 15, are very applicable to, of course, your daily life, especially in marketplace ministry as well. So I'll just read it, 14, 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So first, it tells you, do all things without grumbling or dispute. So this is your attitude, right? And when you first start a new job, you first start a new ministry, of course you're excited, good attitude. How can I help? Right? But over time, we have to really watch our attitude, right? Are we making things actually more difficult? What are we trying to accomplish? Are you really submitting to authority? Are you helping with the solution? Or are you just providing reasons for not to do things, right? So it's important, that attitude. And part that attitude will also affect in verse 15. It says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Blameless and innocent. In another translation, instead of innocent, it says harmless. Harmless. Right? And we know when you're working with people, what is the most difficult is sometimes you're not even trying to, you know, attack someone, or like you're just trying to talk to someone and or ask them a question to do something, and the response you get is an attack, right? Oh, what? And sometimes we can do that too, right? People might ask us something, or, you know, and especially I'm sure, I mean, maybe less so, or maybe in a ministry environment, but a work environment, you know, people are vying for positions, especially in marketplace ministry. Everyone's trying to get ahead. And so if you're not harmless, people aren't going to trust you, right? Because they think you're trying to vie for things, right? So we're supposed to have such a high standard, especially how we conduct ourselves. Blameless, and instead of innocent, let's say harmless, right? So to do that, both blameless and harmless, it means blameless, you got to be excellent at what you do. You got to be so good that people can't fault you. And harmless, you're not threatening anybody in what they do either. So basically, in our workplace ministry environment, you're an incredible blessing because you're blameless, because you're so good at what you do, and harmless, basically, you're not a threat. So in fact, you're someone that people can go to help for and trust you. So that's the type of person you're supposed to be. And the result is children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So all of us are light, right? It's not a, are you light of the world? It's we are all light, but how brightly do you shine as a light? And when we say shine brightly, you're not bringing attention to yourself, right? You're bringing attention to Jesus. So the way, because if you are truly able to be blameless and innocent, especially in a workplace environment where everyone's being competitive and trying to earn, you're going to really stand out. And people will be like, why are you like that, right? Why aren't you more competitive? Why aren't you doing this? And at that point, hopefully, what they see is something different, and they would approach you and be like, hey, you're different. Like, how come you're not, like, you know, living the life, living or running the rat race, you know, like everyone else does? And you can point to Jesus, right? Oh, because I've been saved by grace, not by works, right? So I don't need to earn. I don't need to compete with people. I've already received my inheritance. I'm already so satisfied, right? I mean, many different scenarios. And I remember before working at SP, that happened once with me. I remember I had a crazy boss, and I worked with a colleague from Solomon's Porch. And I had a kind of a really aggressive boss, and she would just always be yelling, every staff meeting, yelling, why don't you do this? And it was like the least constructive, like, criticism. It was not like, oh, can you do things better by doing that? It would just be like, can you make things better? Can you make things look better? And just, she'd be yelling at everyone, and I always used to be really calm, like, oh, okay. I remember once my colleague's like, hey, how can you stay calm? Like, during that, don't you get angry, or, you know, aren't you affected? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, of course, I'm still human. I still get affected if somebody's, like, berating you. But I was like, oh, but, you know, in the end, I get my value and worth from God, so I don't really care. I mean, I care about what she says, but I'm not going to let it define me, right? Example. And of course, when it's talking about being blameless, it's not saying we're perfect, right? Obviously. In Romans 3, verse 10 to 12, Paul writes, as it is written, or is mentioned, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none that are righteous, not even one. So he's saying, I'm not righteous. So clearly, he is not blameless. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. So he's saying, even among sinners, I'm the worst. So how can he say I am blameless? So he's not saying I'm perfect, I'm blameless. But he's saying, when it comes to, I guess, for him, in the context, he's talking about the law, right? For us, it would be, you know, in this world, marketplace ministry, then you should be blameless, right? The way you conduct yourself, that people, you know, don't be late, be punctual. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Do things with integrity. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Your attitude, you should be patient, supportive. You shouldn't be mean to people. They should really experience the love, right? And so that's that blameless. And then in verse 16, finishes this section with holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So he's saying, hey, if you do this, right, if you guys can live this way blameless and harmless, have this attitude without grumbling or dispute, that you're constantly working out your salvation, he's saying, is all worth it for me. Is all worth it. And he says, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. And so he's kind of referencing his eventual death to be a martyr, right? And traditionally, what they did is kind of like, it's a little different. I was thinking of like, you know, when homies would pour drink on the floor. But this is a little different. But they would actually, during any sacrifice that they would do, along with that sacrifice, they would actually pour wine on the floor as well, as part of that sacrifice. And so he's saying, even as I am poured out, so even as I am the one to be that sacrifice, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. And so he's not rejoicing that necessarily that he's going to die. He's not like, oh yes, I'm about to die. He's rejoicing because he's able to do those things that he listed and even die on account of that. And he's hoping that, and because of that, he'll feel joy, right? And he ends by saying, hopefully you can also join in rejoicing, working out your salvation, and, you know, basically living your life really blameless, innocent, all these things in unity, and that you would share in that same joy. So invite Andrew, not Donald, to lead us. And so if we could just close our eyes, meditate before God. And are we, as Paul asks us to do, are we working out our salvation? Are the things that in your life that are difficult, hard, are you going through that with God? Are you seeking the Lord out? Are you willing to surrender and submit those things that you know you need to let go of, your bitterness? Are you willing to forgive? And what has been our attitude in the a church, in your ministry, in the marketplace? Are you doing things without grumbling or disputes? Are you doing things in such a way that are blameless and harmless, so that you will appear as light in the world? Let's just go before the Lord, and if you have anything to repent, repent of, and then just realign yourself with what the Lord wants for you in your life, and just know it is God who is at work in you. So he's the one who will teach you, guide you through this process. I just felt led to lead us through a time to let the Holy Spirit just instruct us to work out our salvation. I just felt like, you know, the Holy Spirit is always asking us to just continually die to ourselves. So I just wanted to give Holy Spirit time to talk to us. If there's anything in our lives that we need to give up or lay down, it could be, you know, websites or apps or social media. It could be our attitudes, our emotions. It could be forgiveness towards people. It could be even relationships that, if they're unhealthy, that we need to lay down as well. And why does God ask us to lay down and surrender things? Is because oftentimes we are idolizing these things. We are spending too much time putting our worth or escaping into these things. And, you know, our God has something so much in store for us. And so even as He's asked us to give up or lay down things, it's out of love, right? It's not being mean. So let's just allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to us, and I just pray that we would be able to embrace whatever the Lord speaks to us about. Yes, Jesus, we thank You for what You did on the cross for us, and these things that You ask us to release and surrender over to You, that You have something so much better to offer us, Lord. We just step into that place of obedience, Lord, and what makes it really difficult, or feels very difficult, it feels like it is our right to hold on to these things. But we, even our rights, our right to hold on to these things, Lord, we just release to You, God. And we release it, God, to You, because we trust You and that You are working in us, both inside and out, God. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to our screens and let's cover our community. Let's pray for our community members, loved ones that are going through cancer, as well as going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Pray for God to continue to surround these people with prayer, that people will continue to contend. Pray for God to come and comfort these people as well as their families as well. Let's also cover our community who are sick, illness, but as well as in need of the word of salvation to enter their lives. Pray for God to use, especially the relationships that are up there, to share with people, those share in love and for opportunities to come. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Also cover those who are listed on the jobs list. Let's pray for God to open doors, to lead them to opportunities, that they would have discernment as well as to what to choose. Pray for our Wednesday lists. Let's start with our mission focus. Let's pray for China. You know, right now there's a big crackdown there on just Christians and churches. So let's really cover the nation, the underground churches. Let's pray for, cover SP Beijing and SPSH. And you can also pray for Hyunsu and Ricky and their families. They're on the, I guess, lead, senior pastor, leader, pastor retreat. So just pray for their time. It'd be refreshing that they'd be on the same page and feel supported. So also pray for the Chong family and Matt and Nate's parents. Let's cover the board. P, Sam, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Ken, Marcus, Sue, and Monica. Let's pray for our board of directors that they'd be prayerful, that they're able to just do it with so much joy. You know, they have, many of them have very full plates. So let's pray that the Lord give them the capacity to also serve the church in this manner, and that they would be blessed and have and be united as well. Let's also pray for the fellowship ministries, the young adults, cover the men's accountability and Yahweh Eats, cover the men's retreat, men's ministry, where their retreat is coming up this weekend. So let's pray for them and the retreat. Let's also cover the women's ministry and also the women's retreat that's coming up. Let's also pray for SP 2.0 and all the building resources, benefactor, vision fund. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. Blue Pool, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, TST. That it just be a really good sharing time and fellowship as they discussed about our this past week's Just Sunday. Yeah, let's cover them. Yes, Jesus, we thank you for today and the word from today, Lord, and the reminder, God, that, you know, we really need you in our lives, that we need to constantly seek after you and also just allow you to work and transform us in our lives. And just thank you for the reminder that, you know, we are a light in this world. We are witnesses. God, we didn't just come to receive. I mean, that is part of it, but we also, you have given us a purpose in this world for people to experience you through us. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would be able to fix our attitudes and approach as we go off into our work, as we go off in life, Lord, that we have good attitudes, that we really be a blessing, a support, that we be excellent in the way we conduct ourselves, God, and that, yeah, in the end, the glory would not go to us, God, but it would point to you, Lord, in all that we do. So we thank you, Lord. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day. God bless you.